So in order for us to be invisible and not in appear as we don't exist anymore, our markings had to be erased. And that was metaphorically and literally, in a very like intentional and deliberate way.
The Transformative Marks podcast explores how Indigenous tattoo artists, cultural tattoo practitioners, and ancestral skin markers transform this world for the better, dot by dot, line by line, and stitch by stitch. My name is Dion Kazis. I'm a Hungarian, Métis, and Intikapmuk professional tattoo artist and ancestral skin marker. I started the work of reviving my ancestral Intikapmuk skin marking practice over a decade ago. And I've helped, supported, and trained practitioners and tattoo artists here on Turtle Island. In this podcast, I sit down with Indigenous tattoo artists, cultural tattoo practitioners, and ancestral skin markers from across the globe, bringing you behind the scenes of this powerful, transformative, and spiritual work.
Shab Gaish, Anyanapchagig, Pauline Alvarez. I'm Akmal Otham and Thona Otham. I grew up in Los Angeles, which is unceded Tongva territory, and right now I'm currently back home on Otham territory. So, yeah.
So what do you, tell me about what you do, and, especially in relationship to tattooing.
Right. So my interest in Indigenous tattooing definitely started off with my master's thesis. And I was really intrigued by my family's tattoos because it definitely like asserted our identity as Otham folks, especially in the space, in the context of LA, right? It's away from our traditional territories. But then I was really fascinated more by my grandmother's tattoos because that was really empowering for me to see like a woman be tattooed, and it's like my grandma, and it's like it's also like cute that she had these like tattoos like on her like wrists on both sides, and one was just like Mary, like her name, and another one was like RE, my grandfather's initials. And so I asked her more about them, and I come to find out that one of them was actually done when she went to Sherman boarding school in Riverside, California. And while she was home on vacation, she had one done, but it was done with cactus spines. So I was like, oh, wow, like that's interesting. And she's like, yeah, like, you know, we're just kids kind of like messing around. I'm like, okay. And so I started getting more into like what we as Otham people, like what we used for our tattooing and what it looked like. And so obviously I had to sift through a lot of anthropological work and things like that. And so, and it really got me intrigued into how like this, us as Indigenous folks, like marking our skin is really important and how we've always been doing that. And just because of, obviously because of like colonialism, there's been this like shame around it. And I just kind of like think that when we mark ourselves, like we reclaim our indigeneity, but also like we're reclaiming our bodies. And it's, you know, we're reestablishing this autonomy we have over our bodies. And I think for me, especially as an Indigenous woman, that's often not afforded to me. So it was really important for me to kind of like, you know, follow this like footsteps of my grandma and like, I'm going to tattoo my body and I don't care. Yeah. And so, aside from my thesis, I also have a zine. I got really into zine making because of how accessible it is, and it's like basically self-publishing. And because I wanted to share my work that I did for my thesis with my family, and I knew like they wouldn't really be able to, you know, read that, you know, all this text. And so I was like, all right, I'm gonna put it into a zine. And so this is kind of also a way for me to like archive not only like my family's tattoos, but I also have reached out to other folks, and I'm currently working on the second issue of it. And yeah, I just kind of want to use that as like a source that's accessible to lots of other folks.
Awesome. You know, one of the things that you said that I find really interesting is that, you know, I'm continuing to, you know, ask, especially, you know, Indigenous women about this process of reclaiming our body. So, could you share whatever you're comfortable with, you know, in relationship to that train of
thought? Yeah, so it's obviously really personal. And I had always known, so On my back, I have Iitoiki, which is like man in the maze, and it's very specific to Autumn people. And I had always known, like ever since I was little, I'm going to get that tattoo. Like a lot of people in my family have the same tattoo. I was like, I'm going to get it. But then my dad was kind of like, don't get it too big. Like it has to be this side. I have to go with you. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, but I'm going to get it. And so that was great. But also I just actually recently got, this was actually hand poked. It's our water design. Kanahus actually like did this work. Yeah. And like when I got home, he was like, no more tattoos. Like, and so, you know, we're as women, like we're still struggling to kind of like say, hey, this is me. Like, I'm your daughter, I'm Indigenous, and like this is me recuperating not only these traditions but like being proud and being you know, and being unapologetic about who I am and making space for myself in this world, as we should. And I think we should also like uplift other you know, young Native girls and other Native women, and I think we, you know, so my grandma was kind of like giving me permission to do this, to get these tattoos. And I kind of did like you, sir, when I got my first tattoo, I was like, well, grandma has tattoos. So yeah. So that's kind of like what I was thinking about. And also like, if we, you know, think a little more about like violence against Indigenous women and just how like Indigenous women are constantly fetishized and exoticized. Like, I definitely think when we put like markings on ourselves that we're pushing against like that narrative, so that's kind of where I'm coming at from it. Yeah,
you know, when the thing that I've really enjoyed and loved about your research is the way that you talk about the erasure of tattoos connected to the erasure of life. Mm-hmm. So can you share a little tidbit about that?
Yeah, so you know, obviously with settler colonialism, it, you know, the whole purpose is to take the land. They came here, you know, settlers came here to stay. So with that, in order to, you know, say like Native peoples weren't here, they had to take away our markings because that's what made us Indigenous. That's what, you know, that's what identified us to our specific tribal nations, and also our connections to other tribes as well, because I, you know, from some research that I've done, some Indigenous folks would go for ceremony to like, you know, another Indigenous nation and then get tattooed there. So for ceremonial purposes, one Indigenous nation might go to, you know, another nation's territory, and within certain ceremonies, they might do kind of like share tattooing traditions in a way, but that like someone might get tattooed within that ceremony. And so I think it's, yeah, so in order for us to be invisible and not in appear as we don't exist anymore, our markings had to be erased, and that was metaphorically and literally and is very like intentional and deliberate way. So that's kind of a little bit where I talk about like unmarking. Yeah. Specifically. Yeah.
So kind of, I have two more questions. One is, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the healing and, you know, kind of frame this work that we do around tattoo medicine. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts around, you know, that idea of the use of tattoos as medicine?
Yeah. Definitely. Because, as I stated before, like I grew up in Los Angeles, and so I definitely had some issues with like my identity and trying to like figure out and like, oh, I'm just an urban Indian. Like I don't have much of a connection. But with, you know, when I first got my Iitoiki, even though it was done by a non-native person, it was done in just like a tattoo shop like near my house, like it definitely made me feel like I'm Autumn. Like that I chose to have this symbol on me, this marking that other Autumn folk like can identify and be like, oh, are you Pima? Are you T.O.? And like, it's just a way for us to like also build community in that way. And I think with community comes healing as well. And Yeah, so definitely from my perspective and my experience, like my tattoos and my markings have definitely brought me healing. I do think it's important that we, because I think sometimes there's a lot of conversation around, you know, this kind of like contemporary versus like traditional tattooing. And I think sometimes that's very limiting and that's restricting to us, like ultimately trying to like recuperate our communities and in healing, going back to healing and like ultimately being sovereign, because I think it's up to us, like of what we think of tattooing and how we're going to define it.
So the last question I always ask people is there anything you ever wanted to share, or is there anything else you'd like to share? So a lot of times, you know, I work with other Indigenous practitioners and they get interviewed time after time after time, and it's always the same question. So is there a question or something that you've always wanted to share that feel free to do that?
Okay. I know it's tough. That is tough. It is tough. And I'm also like, this is like my first interview like this. So I don't know.
Or is there something else you would like to share or add to what we've already done?
Well, I guess one thing that I'd like to share is that like I admire all the work that is being done in like Canada, First Nations folks, and also like with Maori folks and Native Hawaiians and Samoans, and I just wish we can bring that here to the States. And I think there's like definitely a need, and there's definitely like people already doing that work, and it's just about kind of hopefully bringing like some of those folks like together. And like I know we had talked about previously, like maybe like a collective, or like, you know, working together across these like borders that aren't doing anything for us anyway to begin with, and collaborating, because I think this is really, there's definitely like a resurgence, a huge resurgence. But I think it would be definitely great if we brought it more here in the States. And there's definitely like I don't know how to say it. Like, I don't. Obviously, a need, but like, people are so like excited for this. But I would say, like, along with that excitement, I think we need to have more discussions around responsibility. And I think for myself, like doing this work, sometimes I felt like, oh, maybe people won't take me seriously because like I don't have any like facial markings, and like, and I think like, compared to most people, like relatively speaking, I don't have that many tattoos. But for me, it's about, because I know there's a lot of responsibility that comes with these markings, and that we need to carry, and like we need to live in a certain way and gain some understandings. And I'm not necessarily saying we have to go back to like these traditional ways, but those, our traditions definitely need to inform how we're going to think about, you know, when we do these tattoos and who gets to be tattoos and who's doing the tattooing in the present and in the future.
Hey, listeners, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I just want you to remember that no matter who you are, where you're from, what you've been through, what you've done, that you are amazing and beautiful, and I'm excited to see you next week. If you haven't already subscribed, please go and do so. And if you have subscribed, I appreciate you following the Transformative Marks podcast. And the last thing that I will ask you is to do me a solid and share this episode with somebody that you think will enjoy it. Thanks a lot, and see you next week.